a church that lives by it or even an individual that lives by it will certainly benefit. No doubt their lives will be blessed of God if we would just adapt and adopt the first verse of Psalms 115. And to my knowledge, I've made some comments about it, maybe before we quoted it or after we quoted that verse, but I've never really studied the context of the verse. I've never really looked at the chapter of that verse and the things that was going on behind the scenes. I never really saw that. But the Lord began to deal with my heart earlier this week about looking at this passage of Scripture in Psalms 115. And the Bible says in verse number 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And that's our church verse. There's truths there, principles there, that if we would live by those, it would certainly help us to be a better Christian, better church member, better preacher on my part, a better daddy, a better husband. You know, it would help us all. Verse number 2, "Wherefore should the heathen say..." Now keep in mind, verse 1, it flows right into verse 2. "Wherefore..." In light of what they just had prayed and just had said and desired in verse 1, comes to verse 2, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" Now listen to that. That helps to set the stage of the context of this chapter, is that question. "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" Now, I was planning to read it all and then go back, but I want to go back to chapter 14, or excuse me, 114, the previous chapter. These two chapters actually go together. It goes right out of chapter 14, and what you'll find in the 8 verses of chapter 114 is you will find a recounting of the past miracles of God in the life of the children of Israel. You could find, for instance, verse 3. Well, let's just read it. It won't take just a minute to read it. "When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled." Talking about the Red Sea. "Jordan was driven back." You remember how when they crossed Jordan, how it went back on a heap and backed up all the way to the city of Adam. Verse number 4, "The mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back. Ye mountains that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of water." So he's recollecting and rehearsing, if you will, some of the past miraculous actions, activities of God in those verses. Well, it comes down now into chapter 115, and the heathen is saying, "Where is now your God?" In other words, you claim the God of the past was a God of miracles and a God of the supernatural. And we have stories of the creation, and we have stories of the Exodus, and we have stories of God providing when there was no tangible provisions, when God would feed that multitude with manna and bring water out of a rock and fly in quail and take care of his people. But it seems that was all hemmed up in the past. They were only stories of the past, And who was it that was in bringing about the insult? The heathen. The heathen that we would find starting in verse 4 down through verse number 8 that were the makers of false idols that made them out of silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Verse 6, they have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Describing the false idols. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Notice there, if you will, the tangible God that people was putting their, that they made. They had eyes and mouths and ears and nose and hands and feet. I wrote down in my Bible, they had features with no function. What good is an eye if it don't see, and an ear that doesn't hear, and a mouth that doesn't speak, and a nose that doesn't smell, and hands that cannot handle, and feet that cannot walk? What good is that? And then it said, they that make them are likened to them, and they that trust in them. Isn't it amazing how that people were quick in that hour to trust in a false God that couldn't see, hear, talk, walk, feel, handle, touch, couldn't do nothing? How they were quick to do that? I wonder, and it said they that made them are likened to them. I wonder what kind of projection are we casting upon the God that we serve? Are we acting and living as though our God has eyes but he can't see? Are we acting and living as though God has ears but he can't hear? Hands that he can't handle, feet that he can't walk? Are we giving that indication? I'm going to tell you, a lot of people that go to church today seems to be portraying from their lifestyle and their just the way their manner of conduct is that their God is no better off than that I just read to you in those four verses. We act as though God can't see. We act as though God can't hear. We act as though God can't handle or touch, that God can't walk. God forgive us for that. Because I'll tell you what's happening with that. I'll tell you what's happening with that. It's giving fuel to the heathen. It's giving fuel to the heathen to taunt and ridicule and degrade our God. But listen, where is now thy God? These heathen were aware of those things that had been recorded in the previous chapter and even in a lot of the other chapters of the Bible. They were aware of that, but they don't see none of that now. Where's God? Where's that God at now? Where is now? That word now is a big word there. Where is now? He didn't ask, where is your God? Where did he used to be? Where was he? But where is now? What's the difference between then and now? Boy, that would be a good thought, thinking on the preparational aspect of getting ready for revival. And I appreciate what Brother Craig said, but really, really, we ought to be making moves toward God, Brother Craig, even if revival wasn't scheduled, even if we cancel it sometime this week, we cancel it. That shouldn't cause us to falter. That shouldn't cause us to fade away and say, well, what's the use? Listen, you don't make advances toward God to get him to do something. You make advances to God because of who he is and what he's already done in our life. Amen. And so the heathen's making fun of God. They're making fun of those that put their trust in God. Where is your God now? Where's now your God? We read about revivals of days gone by, years gone by, and there's books about it and there's facts about it. But where's that God now? Where is now? Where is now their God? The heathen is doing that. Look at verse 3. The answer is, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Not what we please, but what he pleased. And then I've already read verse 4 down through verse number 9 or verse 8 when it described those that were had made the idols out of silver and gold. And silver and gold are terms in the Bible that refers to riches and refers to money. These people in verse number 4 through 8, they were wanting gods that were visible. They were wanting gods that didn't have any control in their life, that did not give out commandments, that did not give preachers messages to preach, and did not send prophets in the Old Testament. That's the kind of God that most people want. They want one that they can stand over in a corner, that says nothing, that sees nothing, that hears nothing, that makes no movement with feet and no handling with their hands. What if we had a God like that today? I wouldn't be here today, Brother Frankie. I'm thankful for the fact that God sees. I'm thankful for the fact that our God is alive, that he wasn't man-made, but rather he made man. I'm glad that he's not one that is stationary and that wherever somebody placed him. I'm glad he's moving. I'm glad he's active. I'm glad he's in charge. I'm glad he's on the throne. I'm glad I don't have to carry him because he's carrying me. I'm glad he has eyes that never dims. He can see in the dark as well as in the night, as in the light. Thank God. And that ought to cause us to act that. I mean, I can't say that. I want to say it again. Those that made the idols were like unto them. There's a conformity in worship between you and what you worship or even who you worship. Amen. If you worship God, there will be godliness in your life. Amen. If you worship the living God, there will be life and evidence of life in your life. Amen. Amen. If you worship the God, the Bible said he is in the heavens. Heaven is his throne. If I'm worshiping the God of heaven and is in heaven, and that's his throne and that's his home. Listen, if I'm worshiping a God, don't you think there'll be a little bit of some kind of heaven in my life? Some interest of heaven, some thoughts of heaven, some desires of heaven, some longings of heaven. Amen. When we become so earthly minded, I believe all we're doing is to the heathen, we're giving them fuel to taunt and make fun of the church of the living God. Where is now? Where is now their God? Where is now their God? Look, let's look, pick it up in verse 9. O Israel, after he got through making fun of the idols, and how dare the heathen that don't even have a real God make fun of our God who is real? Amen. They had to carve out theirs when ours never came from anywhere. He's always been. He is the creator. Amen. And so we find now that he gets off of that and he brings his attention back around and he starts addressing God's people. As he addressed in verse number 1, verse number 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Trust thou in the Lord. The word trust there is used several times, and it's the same identical word that verse number 8 ended with. It's the same word, trusteth, that was coming from those that created the idols and those that were trusting in them. I'd hate to know that people in idolatry has a greater affection, a greater devotion, a greater commitment to idols than you and I have to our true and living God. Comes into verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Here's why. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You see that repetition? You see that? Trust in the Lord is mentioned in verse 10, 11, and 9, 10, and 11. He is their help and their shield is in all three of those verses as well. He's trying to encourage them. He's trying to encourage them to stick with what you said in verse 1. Stick to what you said in verse 1. When you said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, stay with that. Don't ever abandon that. If the heathen taunts and makes fun and ridicules and laughs and mocks at you and your God and your devotion to Him, don't back away from not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, O Lord. Verse 12, the Lord. We read verse 11. The Lord, look at verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. We're saying in verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but the Bible is recording that God has been mindful of us. Now, I tell you what that word ought to be, Miss Susan. God is forgetful of us. God is tired of us. God is through with us. That's what that verse ought to have said, Miss Stacy. But instead, it said that God is mindful of us. Now, look that word up. That word mindful means He remembers us. He thinks on us. He keeps us on His mind. He keeps us in His remembrance and in His memory and in His thoughts. I don't want y'all to get too happy about that. That's undeserved. I hope we understand that. And we will look at ourselves that way if we stick with verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. That is self-denial. That is a decline of any deserved merit on our part. Amen. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Uh-oh, here comes, he introduces another word now that he repeats. Instead of trust. And now he comes in and says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord. And this got big to me, both small and great. I don't want us to get too excited this morning. But somewhere in that two-word description, all of us fit. The Bible said there that He will bless them that fear the Lord. Those that reverences the Lord. Those that respects and honors and adores the Lord. He, the Bible said, will bless them. Now He's not going to bless you if you're being foolish and out in sin and wicked and walking contrary to the Bible. He's not going to bless that. And if He is good to you in those moments, it is for the purpose that it might lead you to repentance. It's not a goodness that is given for condonement. It's not a goodness that is to encourage you saying, well, I'm living like this and God's still good to me. I'm going to just keep living like this. No, God is good to us when we're not good to Him. Why? So that we'll repent. I tell you, we need a revival of repentance. We need a revival of repentance. We need a revival of restoration. We need a revival of recovery. Amen. We need a revival of rejoicing. We need a revival of righteousness, practical righteousness. And the list can go on. But small and great, that word small has to do with an age and a size. So what he did there was, he said, small. He said, I'm going all the way down to the early years of the age brackets, and I'm going to include them. I'm going to include your children. Oh, Lord, help us.
I will bless them that fear him. Both small, those that would not even measure up on the significant scale. They, amen, just those young and little babies, amen. God said, I'll bless them that fear him. Amen. Both small and great. See, a lot of times if you're not careful, the devil will whisper in your ear that you got to be great to be blessed. And again, that word great there also includes the upper end of the age bracket. Those that have already lived years and have grown and adult years and so forth. So God reaches down to those beginning life and those that are headed toward the end of life. And God said, I want you to know that I'm not conditioned by a birth certificate. I'm conditioned by on the fact of whether you fear me or not, whether you respect me or not, whether you honor me. God said, I'll bless both small and great. There's hope for me. Because somewhere in there, I fit. I may not be the small, and I may not be up there with the great, but I'm in there somewhere, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Don't get excited now, it's getting bigger. The Lord shall increase you. We're in a day of decrease. We're in a day when it seems like there is a common report of decrease. But I want to tell you, hello RBT. I believe if we get our hearts and our minds and everybody gets right with one another and right with God to where you'll be able to say, as far as I know, there's nothing between me and the Lord, and that's a big statement. And that's something that you can't just deal with on Monday and let it go on Tuesday. For you to be able to say there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, between me and the Lord, that is a minute, moment by moment, minute by minute thing that you need to be concerned with, because it don't take long to get crossed up. It don't take long, amen, for the flesh to start influencing a decision or influencing a thought life. It don't take long. Amen. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, and nothing between me and a brother. Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching. May do it tonight. I'm not sure 100% on it yet. Different doesn't mean divided. The gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians, and I better get off that or I'm going to be on it now. The gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians was given severally as the Spirit of God willed to do so. And to one he would give this gift, and the Bible said, and to another. And then it repeated that, and to another he gave, and to another he gave. We don't all have the same gifts. We're not all gifted in the same way. We are people that are diverse. We have different personalities. And if you hear that again tonight, just act like you didn't hear it this morning. We're different, but different doesn't mean divided. There can be unity in diversity. Amen. Well, there's your cracker from tonight if the Lord leads that way. But anyway, notice what he said here. I don't even know how I got on that. Maybe that was for somebody that wasn't planning on coming tonight, and maybe that interested you. Well, I believe I'm going to come now. Amen. Look at it. The Lord shall increase you more and more. I know what it was when I read that. It stirred my heart again. The Lord shall increase you more and more. Even though we're in a day when it seems like that it's a normal to decline and a normal for church to struggle and normal for all of that. I want to tell you, I believe that verse right there would indicate to us that if we're right with God and we fear him and we trust him and we're honoring him and we're living according to the principle of verse 1, not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. I believe God, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the devil, in spite of viruses, in spite of politicians, I believe God can prosper and bless us and increase us. Yeah. That more and more ought to stir something in you.
I mean, that blessed, that God blessing those that fear Him, both small and great, that blessed me. But I like that more and more business. Amen. That means His increasing of us. Amen. Listen, His increasing of us is not limited. It'll never be maximized. It'll never run out. God will never say, that's all I've got. I can't do no more. No, more and more means exactly what it says. Well, I was going to preach on this, but I think we're just reading it. Look at it. If that's not been good enough, let's get another dose before we go to the house. Look at verse 15. You're blessed of the Lord. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made the heavens and heaven, made heaven and earth. Ye are blessed of the Lord. Has that not already been the top? Y'all didn't even know what I was planning on reading or commenting on or preaching about. And there was people talking about, God's been good to me. God's blessed us. God has blessed us. God has been good to us. Amen. All right, look here. Ye are blessed of the Lord. I want to listen, as I read that just now, it's come across my heart, my mind, my awareness. I believe your spiritual life will go to another level when you're wanting what can come from God versus what can come from man. How many, don't raise your hand, but just ask yourself in your heart and mind, how many is really interested in the blessings that come from God? A lot of people that are in our churches today, they're wanting the blessings that can come from the world. They're wanting blessings that would come from through the door of popularity. And everybody patting you on the back and praising you and giving you accolades and all of that. But what about the blessings of the Lord? Can we honestly bow before the Lord? Can we honestly bow before the Lord with nobody else around? And can we honestly say and mean it with everything that's within us, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy, for thy truth's sake. Could we honestly get before the Lord and say, Lord, I want the blessings that come from you, your hand and your heart, and from you and your throne and your heaven. I want those blessings. More than I want blessings from the world. More than I want blessings from people. Lord, I want your blessings on my life. Amen. And look, let's read on. The Bible said, ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. I think if he's qualified to do that, he's qualified to bless you, take care of you, meet your needs, lead you along life's journey. Amen. Look at verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth which hath given to the children of men. Now notice this verse here. Verse 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down in silence. That again is still in the context. Just as those in verse 4 through 8 had a visible God that they give visible attention, they were verbally talking about their gods, and their trust that they had in their gods was all visible. Everything was tangible. But the God you and I serve is not visible. And if we're not careful, we'll allow our praise to become invisible. We'll allow our praise to become silent. Now, verse number 17, when it said the death praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. That's not talking about soul sleep. That's not talking about that when a person dies that they're just piled under a pile of dirt somewhere and that's it. No, what it's saying is what is happening among the living, what is happening among the souls of men. When a person dies, their voice is silent. Their praise is silent. Their witness is become silent, for as the sons of men or the in the land of the living, if you will. So that puts the pressure on me who is still breathing, and the pressure on you that is still breathing and still alive. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'm still among the living, so my voice can be heard. I'm still among the living, so listen, my devotion to the Lord can be seen. It can be visible. Amen. The heathen had the audacity to say, where is now their God? Whose fault was that? God was visible and active in chapter 1:14, but he's being questioned by the heathen in chapter 1:15. I don't have time to deal with it, but I'll tell you this. One thing that will kill that is to take away the first repeated phrase of chapter verse number 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. You want God to not be praised? You want His praise to become silent? Then your life become all about you. Now keep in mind what's happening here. The heathen was making fun of God. Where is now your God? Where is now their God? You talk about what He used to do and how He used to do, and you read the Old Testament and all of that, and you read the New Testament and all of the miracles there, but where's all that now? What has happened to our God now? Where is He at now? I want to tell you where He's at. He's in heaven. He's where He's always been. He's alive and well. He's on the throne. Answers to nobody but Himself and His Word. Well, then why the question? Where is now their God? I'll tell you why. God's people had got in a condition to where they weren't, their spiritual life and their devotion life with God was not vocal and it was not visible and God wasn't doing much. And the heathen steps up and takes advantage of that and says, see, look at our God. You can see our God right here's our God. See, He's got eyes, ears, nose. Mouth, hands, feet. We can't see your God. We don't see, you know, but you can see ours. Not unto us is vital in the whole layout of this psalm. But look at it. I'm going to have to move on and finish. Look at verse 18. Now, I pointed out, listen, I pointed out in verse, well, it started out in verse number 9, 10, 11, he talked about trusting the Lord, for He is their help and their shield. And you ought to look up those words. And then he moves from trusting the Lord, for He is our help and shield. He starts out now in verse number 12 of He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Jacob. He will bless them that fear Him. And then he talks about again in verse number 15, you're blessed of the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. But look how he closes the verse. Look how he closes the chapter. Look how he closes it. It closes with a resolve and a determination and a purpose. But we will. The dead, when they die, their voice is silent. Are you listening? When a person dies, there far as us hearing them praise the Lord and testify and sing and preach and shout and teach or whatever, that when they die, their voice is silent other than recordings. But if David wrote this psalm, he's coming in and he says, but we will. We that are alive still. We that are not dead. Our voices still can be heard and our life can still be visibly seen. But we will bless the Lord. Miss Vicki, that word bless right there, we will bless the Lord, is the exact same word bless that was used in the previous verses. He will bless us. He's going to bless us. He will bless the house of He'll bless the house of Aaron. He will bless us. Amen. He will bless them that fear him. Same word. But when it come to the end, David, if he wrote that, turns it around and says, but we will. We that are alive, we're the ones that can make a difference. We that are alive, we're the ones that can and still got eyes that we can see and ears that we can hear. We've got a mouth that can speak, and we've got feet that can walk and run. We've got hands that can handle. We can be active Christians, amen. We can be visible Christians. We can be vocal Christians. But David said, we will bless the Lord. It's not just about him blessing us. Bless me, O Lord. Bless us. Bless my family. And Lord, I want to tell you, if he didn't do that, we'd be in a mess. But when's the last time before we got off of that mentality that we thought about us blessing him? I believe it was on Wednesday. I was outside praying about my prayer time that we're doing. And I was outside praying, and I got to thinking about Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord. I got to kind of praying to the Lord and kind of preaching, I guess, and just worshiping around that thought. I said, Lord, if I'm to bless you and I don't bless you, that's a blessing you won't get. That's a blessing nobody else can give for me. If I'm to bless the Lord, that means I can bless the Lord. That means the Lord's waiting on me to bless the Lord. The Lord is waiting on me, wanting me to bless him. And if I don't do it, if I don't bless him, then that is a blessing that he will go without. If the same word is used in him blessing us as that last verse is used to bless him, I wonder if that would become our pattern, how we would do. I wonder if God blessed us on the same level as we bless him. I wonder how we'd be faring today. No, I'm going to tell you what we do most of the time. We live a lopsided, one-sided spiritual life. We want God to do everything good and help us, hear us, bless us, amen, heal us, give to us, everything like that. But then where's our turning around and say, I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. What was it David said, Brother Craig, Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. But we will bless the Lord. Watch this now. Here comes another one of them endless phrases. You got the endless that all-inclusive phrase of both small and great, verse 13. You have another endless statement in verse 14, more and more. And now we have another one. But we will bless the Lord. Here it comes. Everybody ready? From this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Are we there? I'm not asking for a verbal response, but ask yourself, are we there? Are we blessing the Lord from this time forth? At least the reason it started right there, Brother Mike, this time forth is because I can't go back before this time. I can't go back to yesterday. I can't go back to last week. I can't go back 2 months ago or 3 years ago. I can't back up the calendar. I can't back up the clock. Are you listening? But David or whoever wrote this psalm is making it clear. We're going to bless the Lord and we're going to start now. We're not going to start Monday week. We're not going to start next year. We're going to start from this time. I've got the authority, Brother Jeter, to make a decision for my life right now from this time.
from this time, starting now. Everybody ought to get in your heart. Starting now, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Starting now, I'm going to get more serious. Starting now, starting now. What would you fill in the blank there? Starting now. Starting now, from this time forth, starting now. Or would you say, well, from starting now, I'm going to continue doing like I'm doing. When he said from this time forth, that was an indicator that what he's fixing to start, he had been failing in. From this time forth. And forevermore. Well, preacher, I'm going to have to wait and see. I don't know. I don't know if I can do that tomorrow now. Today, everything's kind of good. I kind of feel pretty good. You know, things are starting to turn around a little bit, you know, today. But I don't know about tomorrow. I'll have to wait till tomorrow. I'll have to wait till tomorrow. I have to wait and see. You know, I have to check the weather. And I'll have to see who's talking about me and who likes me. And I'll have to wait and get to see what's going on in Washington. Or no. When he said, from this time forth and forevermore. You know what? Listen, what is it that's in your life that'll stop at the grave? What pursuits are you after in life? What goals do you have in life that'll stop at the grave? Has no eternal benefit. Has no eternal reward. But the writer of this psalm made it clear that if you're engaging in praise and blessing of the Lord, that that's something not only that'll be active and beneficiary in time, but an unending, never end when, listen, now, I know it said, listen, I know it said in verse 17, the dead praise not the Lord. I know that, and I know what the context there is. But that don't mean the dead are not praising the Lord. Oh, I promise you, if they praise the Lord here, when the choir, Miss Paul Sue, when the choir sings, I'm on the winning side, I guarantee you, Brother Brooks didn't have to be on a pew here to be having his hands in the air, clapping and blessing God and praising the Lord. I promise you, he's doing that over there. Now, if you do it here, I don't have no question that you're going to do it there. But now, if you don't do it here, I do have question whether you're going to do it there. Well, praise God, preacher, you wait till I get to heaven. You better not get in the way. I'll run over you. I'm going to have a time. Well, why are you not doing it here? The Bible said from this time forth and forevermore. I'm involved in eternal matters. Praising God is not something that's confined to a time zone, because when the and forevermore kicks in and my life's breath leaves my body here and the report goes out that Preacher Rackley is no longer among the living, don't you think for a second that I will not be praising Him, that I'll not be blessing His name from this time forth and forevermore. Woo! From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we're going to bless Him. We're going to praise Him. Amen. 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 If you're involved in complaining and all that stuff, guess what's going to stop that? When you cease to breathe, there ain't gonna be no complaining in heaven. Well, you wait till I get over there, preacher. I'm going to set the Lord down and Paul and Abraham and the rest of them, and they're going to have my undivided attention, or I'm going to give them my undivided attention, and I'm going to ask them all of the whys and the what fors and the why didn't you and why should you and all of that. No. You don't have a verse of Scripture on that. But I can show you in the Scripture that when we are brought into His presence and made into His likeness,
I guarantee you we're going to know, and we're not going to be wondering about little frivolous things that happened on earth that we didn't have an answer for, a question we didn't have an answer, a problem that didn't get solved, an issue that we didn't understand. No, we're going to know that the judge of all the earth shall do right. He's in charge. I'm going to trust him. By the way, that word trust is repeated, I think, three times the word trust is. What other option do you have? You either trust God, amen, who has eyes that can see, ears that can hear, hands that can handle, a mouth that can speak, feet that can walk, amen, a heart that cares. And it went on to say there that it talked about, and neither spake they through their throat, talking about that idol. You know what that's saying? They don't have nothing on the inside. They don't have anything on the inside. All of it's outward. All of it's just outward. Hey, amen. Has a head but no thinking, no brain, no thoughts. A mouth, but those no words, no heart, no will, no desire. Now I'm telling you, we're not serving that. We're serving a God that is alive and well. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad the Lord's helped me. I didn't plan on doing it. I was planning on preaching out of verse 1 and just kind of wallowing around in that verse a little bit, but that's all right. Lord knows what we need. Amen. It spoke to my heart as we read down through those verses. And just see the different emphases and the various things that the Lord was trying to encourage them as they heard. And they didn't like it. I do want to comment right there before I go. These people that heard the heathen say, "Where is now their God?" They didn't like that a bit. And in fact, that was one of the reasons they said, "Not unto us." They didn't want their revengeful heart to be carried out. Amen. And when they said, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name," they said, "God, it's not about us. It's not about us being persecuted, because if God's persecuted, we're persecuted. If there's an attack on God," which clearly that was, "then it's going to include us as well. And if you're not careful, you can get revengeful. You can get resentful." Amen. You may pray for your enemies, but it might be, "Lord, kill them." You can get crossed up. You can get in the wrong spirit. Jesus even said to his disciples on one occasion, "You don't even know what spirit you are of. You're wanting to pray fire down and consume the people." Jesus said, "You don't even know what spirit you're of." Amen. And when they said, "Not unto us," they were actually saying to the Lord, "Lord, do not pay attention to our condition of heart. Don't honor us. Don't come and defend us. We want your name to be at stake. We want your truth to be exalted. We want your name and your name get the glory. We want your name to get the glory." What's bothering us in this whole setting of that question, "Where is now their God?" is that God is being defamed. But Brother Aaron, we won't get upset. Come on now. We won't get upset at the heathen for cursing God and taking the name of God in vain and blaspheming God. We're not going to get upset at that if we're not praising the Lord. How jealous, can I ask you, how jealous are you of the Lord? Throughout the Old Testament, that you find them constantly saying, I'm jealous with a godly jealous. They was jealous for the Lord when they saw idols getting more attention than God was getting. Well, amen. Yeah. I wonder how jealous we are of the Lord when the praise that should be coming out of my mouth, that same breath is turned into complaining and murmuring and lying and gossiping and bitterness and clamor and evil speaking. I wonder when's the last time we got jealous and said, "Lord, I'm sorry that I have been a part of taking away what belongs to you." But when they said, "Not unto us," they were saying, "Lord, don't worry about us. The persecution we're encountering, what's going on in our life, Lord, you focus on your name, you getting the glory for your mercy and for your truth's sake." How jealous are we? May the Lord help us.